Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists create connectivity solutions that change the way we work, live, and play. Like Kunle, a Comcast engineer who is focused on revolutionizing the in-home Wi-Fi experience today and for the next generation. Kunle builds powerful Xfinity Wi-Fi devices that deliver a fast, reliable connection with capacity to connect hundreds of high-bandwidth devices at once and next-level latency for the applications of the future, like augmented and virtual reality and cloud gaming. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/Wi-Fi.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.
Now, did you sleep well or poorly last night? My next guest says that will have a direct impact on how likely you are to believe in conspiracy theories. Dr. Daniel Jolly is an assistant professor in social psychology at the University of Nottingham and has been exploring this exact subject. Daniel, welcome to the programme. This is an unusual one. I remember seeing, I think it was Michael Portillo in a TV programme, and he was documenting lack of sleep and how it affected his mood and rage and so on. It was a really interesting documentary, actually. He did a really good job of it. And I thought to myself, well, that's pretty obvious. If you don't have energy, you're going to be more cranky. And I felt that myself. But how would we even go about linking lack of sleep to belief in conspiracy theories? Where did the idea to investigate this come from?
So we know quite a lot about why people believe in conspiracy theories. It can be down to us trying to make sense of the complex world that we find ourselves in. Typically, when we feel anxious, threatened, uncertain, we find our conspiracy narrative way more appealing. Also, when we can feel depressed, so feeling down and losing pleasure in things, where in essence, we're trying to explain threat that exists in our world through a conspiracy, where we're pointing the finger and blaming the wrong things to society on that group of people.
Just before we go into that, Daniel, what evidence is there of all of that? How do you test and prove all those things?
So taking a social psychology approach, which basically means that we give questions to participants. So it could be around asking, you know, over the last 2 weeks, have you had little interest or pleasure in doing things, to get a measure of depression, for example?
Yeah.
And see how that correlates with a belief in a conspiracy theory. So asking questions about conspiracy theories that are specific to do, let's say, with climate change, vaccination, immigration, or indeed a more general notion. So the idea that there's powerful things going on in the world and we just don't know about them, that there's hidden connections, that it's all part of a secret ring for profit or for power. And we see, okay, is there a link between these two different variables? There's been some interesting work that has looked at this across many different studies. This is often called what we call a meta-analysis, and to see what consistency exists across different participants. And we find consistent evidence that these frustrated well-being measures, shall we say, so anxiety, depression, is a real strong predictor of a belief in our conspiracy theory. Now, for me, I started thinking, okay, well, what actually can frustrate these emotions? What can make us feel more anxious, more threatened, a little bit more depressed? And I started thinking about sleep and how, in a way, as you mentioned right at the start, how sleep can make me feel and how, you know, doing just poor one night's poor quality sleep can kind of change how you feel and your conditions. And so I started looking to see, okay, what do we know about sleep? And we know from different meta-analyses that look at consistency, that those who report poor quality sleep, typically over the last month, are more likely to report they feel depressed, they feel anxious, they feel angry, which, as I say, are things that also predict conspiracy theories. So I was really keen to bring it all together to see, okay, is there a connection between all these different concepts? To see, okay, does a poor quality night's sleep impact well-being? And as such, is that a precursor to a belief in conspiracy theories?
Okay, so I want to go into the methodology in a bit, but in terms of what constitutes a conspiracy theory, isn't that kind of tricky? Because when you said, you know, there are powerful people and powerful forces at play that we're not aware of, I mean, I absolutely believe that, but I wouldn't consider myself a conspiracy theorist. And then, you know, when it comes to immigration or to vaccines or to, you know, how do you define what a conspiracy theory is? Because some of the vaccine skepticism actually had a basis in reasonable doubt of the speed of whatever it is. By the way, I very much believe in the power of vaccines and vaccinated myself and my children. That's not the point. The point is that defining scientifically what is a conspiracy theory to get scientific output, I find that that's a tricky one. How do you do that?
So, of course, as you can imagine, there are different types of definitions. But one thing that we seem to all agree on, us being different scholars in the field, is that a conspiracy theory is attempting to explain typically a significant issue, which could be climate change, for example, all the way through to a particular event, where it blames the cause of that event on secret plots and schemes by typically a powerful group. The word perceived and powerful, I think, is really important in that typically it's pointing the finger who we feel, someone we feel threatened by. As such, a conspirator could be seen to be the government, but also someone who's a minority group member who seen to be threatening. And it's this line here where it comes to be arguing that there's a cover-up. There's something sinister going on for that group's benefit, which goes against the kind of official wisdom on that particular issue. So, for example, it could be going against scientific consensus that highlights that climate change is happening, or indeed that vaccines are safe on certain issues, and instead points the finger at a group, for example, the government or whoever it is, and says they're covering up something to do with, say, vaccination for their own benefit. With the definition, it does kind of move around in the sense of if something is proven to be true and like experts say this is the truth and it comes out in a government report or whatever it is, and then that particular issue suddenly is not a conspiracy theory but is actual fact. But what I find quite interesting is that people who are likely to believe in conspiracy theories about vaccination or climate change are also susceptible to believing in conspiracies about fictional events that are made up for an experiment, which argues that maybe there's something going on in our psychology that makes some people more susceptible to believe in this type of conspiratorial information,
right?
Which I find quite interesting.
Yeah, so take me through your study then. What did you do and how did you measure it?
So in our study, the first thing we did was we did something experimental, whereby we exposed people to information about the Notre Dame fire in Paris in 2019. Now, some participants read a conspiratorial account where it was said there's been a cover-up and it's all to do with profit. Other participants actually read an account that said it's actually to do with an unfortunate accident. And we also asked people to indicate their past month's sleep. So, you know, how much sleep have they had over the last month? What we found was that those who were given this conspiratorial information were more likely to believe it. But we actually found that those who had poor quality sleep, it seemed to amplify the effect. That's for those individuals, they seemed to believe the conspiracy theory even more. So for me, it highlights that, you know, simple exposure can make us think differently about a particular event, but that seemingly this one example of sleep can make things a little bit worse.
And this was a reasonable size study, right? You had over 500 participants in each of the two studies that you did?
Absolutely. So that in that first one, yeah, it was over 500, where it was about 250 in each condition, because we had two conditions, those with the conspiracy and those who didn't. And then our second study, we wanted to understand a bit more about why could these be connected. And just under 600 people, we asked them their past sleep experiences. We then asked them questions about their well-being, so like depression and feeling anxious, and then their belief in conspiracy theories. And what we found was those who were more likely to report poor quality sleep over the last month were likely to say that they felt a bit more depressed, they felt more anxious, a bit more paranoid. And it actually was feeling depressed that was also linked with a belief in a conspiracy theory. So in a way, it's kind of a way to cope with the world and use as a coping mechanism, whereby people who maybe are depressed and feeling down and losing pleasure in things look to kind of explain different threats in our environment as the actions of powerful people doing shady things. And arguably, this type of world where the world is full of conspiracies may fit the kind of reality that they have in their mind, whereby ethics kind of doom and gloom almost. So for us, therefore, it showcased the link with sleep potentially frustrating someone's well-being as such, leading someone down the rabbit hole as such.
Has anyone ever done the same type of a study, but with a conspiracy story that wasn't negatively charged? Because my experience is that when I don't have a high blood sugar level, and my poor producer Marais knows all about this, I'm quite cranky. And same with most of my family. If I'm tired, I'm quite cranky. In fact, I'm quite cranky quite a lot of the time. But if you were to give people a positive but still fantastical story that would be a conspiracy, but a conspiracy for good, I wonder, would people who had less sleep still be likely to believe that? Is it the fantastical nature, or is it the fact that it's a negative emotion and they're feeling negatively and they probably think, yeah, I mean, that, you know, when you you wake up in the morning and you put on your trousers and you put your foot through the hem, and then you get up and you stumble downstairs and you bang your head off the shelf, and then you go and get some breakfast, there's no breakfast left. The next thing that happens, you're like, oh yeah, I knew that was going to happen. We were prone when we've had a few hits to kind of just be quite negatively minded. Is it possible that that's just what's happening here, that it's nothing really to do with the nature of conspiracy theory and conspiratorial thinking, but it's just another negative thing that we're more likely to ingest because we're feeling negative anyway?
That's a really interesting point. And to kind of go back to what you said at the start almost, we do know that conspiracy theories are entertaining. That gets our attention. It makes us feel excited and kind of have those positive emotions where you learn something new about a certain issue. So indeed, could it be that those who have poor quality sleep and maybe are feeling a bit more down, anxious and whatnot, are just really susceptible to looking for news that kind of really excites them, that kind of gets their attention? That indeed could absolutely be true. And that's not something that we tested in our research, but that could explain why it's the type of information that really gets them going. It's that kind of positive emotion. So maybe that absolutely what you've said could be true because they're so entertaining. They just get our attention.
Do these beliefs stick even when people are well slept? So I have a friend of mine, he believes in a lot of conspiracy theories, and I cannot shake them from him. He thinks, the scales are still on my eyes, so to speak. And we've had some mad conversations, and I've just been very surprised to hear what his opinions are, because he seems otherwise a perfectly functioning, normal human being. And then he comes out with stuff, and I'm like, what? Mm. And this, obviously, after consistently stays after many weeks and years of knowing him. So he can't be poorly slept all that time. What is it that makes conspiracy theories when we... maybe we approach them and we encounter them when we're tired or hungry or upset. Why do they persist when we don't feel that way anymore?
That's a really great point to make and to really highlight that sleep is just one contributor to why someone may believe in a conspiracy theory. There are lots of different reasons for why someone's journey could be different. Typically, it is really down to trying to make sense of the complex world that we find ourselves in. That's often why they always appear around crises, which could be both societal, such as COVID, but also personal. So, for example, we know that those who are engaged in more stressful life or have more stressful life events, or indeed have personal crises, maybe to do with a crime or victimization, this can make someone more likely to believe in a conspiracy theory. This could be explained by the fact that if they've been, the brunt of a conspiracy where someone's been able to get them, this can actually lead them to seeing the world through this conspiratorial lens. Now, as such, this isn't linked per se with sleep, but rather is linked with someone's real world experience that is something totally different. An interesting question that could arise is, okay, if someone has poor quality sleep and also has this negative life event, for example, do they interact to kind of make that kind of journey to a conspiracy belief kind of stronger or weaker or whatnot? But nonetheless, he's just making the point that there are other explanations from our emotions, through our needs, through just trying to find this information, just entertaining.
Well, really interesting. Dr. Daniel Jolly, assistant professor in social psychology at the University of Nottingham. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists create connectivity solutions that change the way we work, live, and play. Like Kunle, a Comcast engineer who is focused on revolutionizing the in-home Wi-Fi experience today and for the next generation. Kunle builds powerful Xfinity Wi-Fi devices that deliver a fast, reliable connection with capacity to connect hundreds of high-bandwidth devices at once and next-level latency for the applications of the future, like augmented and virtual reality and cloud gaming. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/Wi-Fi.